A little bit of a different evening tonight. By the way, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol. I'm Jack. Still Jack, and just happy to be here. So a little bit of a different evening tonight. Normally, for you regulars, you know, we either have a teaching or a testimony typically on nights here. Occasionally, we do some special nights. Well, we ended our teaching series last week with the seven reasons we get stuck. And before we roll off again into denial, I thought, let's take a little bit of a pause and put some perspective on our recoveries tonight. And so there was a number of different directions I was thinking of going, and I settled on the one we're settling on tonight. So there you go. You got that going for you. What I would like you to do is I'm going to pass out these offering baskets. There's an offering for you in it in this case. I want you to take at least two of these cards that say thank you, Jesus, on them, and grab yourself a pen, okay? And then we'll talk about those later. So I'll start that here, and I'm going to start this one in the back here with Dave, and hopefully these, you know, just keep passing down your rows until they get to the opposite end of wherever you're at. So a couple of cards. Were you hoarding those, Daniel? Didn't want to pass them? Okay, it's coming. It's coming. Don't worry, there won't be anything to write down for a while, okay? While you're doing that, Dave, can you come up, please? While Walter and Ted make the visuals and the sound, this guy really makes the sound. And while we have a collection of musicians that volunteer their time, Dave is the herder of the cats. So he's bringing all that together. Dave is a personal blessing to me because I don't have to worry or even delve into the worship part of this evening, and probably that suits him just nice, you know, just keep me out of it. But it's something, it's such a relief to not have to worry, to not have to schedule, to just know that it's taken care of. And I've traveled to a lot of different CRs in my time in Celebrate Recovery giving my testimony, and we're very blessed to have live music every week. And that may not always be the case, but we're just going to pray that God continues to bless us with guys like Dave and the rest of the folks that he, you know, corrals. And so I want to honor Dave as well tonight. Thank you very much. Okay, you going to move that mic? That's great. Because it's just, and Dave will be back, you know, earning his money later on here tonight as well, the way we've got things scheduled. Okay. That wasn't even close to where I left off in Scripture. There we go. Okay. Celebrating our recovery. As we kind of take a moment tonight to think back on the year, and I realize many of you have not been here a full year. That's okay. You just get the benefit of some perspective tonight, while others have been here most Thursday nights over this entire teaching series when we started with denial sometime around last August or September. You've heard a number of testimonies. Some of you have shared your testimonies. You've been to small groups. You've been doing the work of recovery. We just finished up both a men's and a women's step study. Once again, intensive work on our recovery. So I just want to take a little bit of time to step back tonight and think about that. And I thought, well, what better way to celebrate than the crucifixion? That's celebratory, isn't it? And I got to thinking about that because, well, for a couple of different reasons. One, last week when I taught on the seven reasons that we can get stuck in our recoveries, I don't know how your small groups went, I can only speak to the one I was in, but as we kind of talked around in our group last week, most of the men, as far as if they were kind of looking at picking one or two of those seven, that they kind of felt this could be an area where I'm stuck, this is where I've been stuck, something like that. A lot of the guys centered on that one that I have not fully turned over my life, but probably more importantly, my will. Most of the guys in our room, probably most of the people in this room, have turned their lives over to Christ by accepting him as their Lord and Savior, and therefore you have guaranteed your salvation from that perspective. That's kind of the once and done piece, if we want to look at it that way. Turning your will over, that's the hard part, at least for me. That's a daily, if not hourly, exercise for me because my sin nature is still alive and well, I'm exposed to the presence of sin. While Jesus took care of the penalty and the power ultimately that sin could have on me as an unbeliever, I'm still very much in the presence of sin. Sometimes the presence in my own head of sin, sometimes just the world I live in. And so I got to thinking about that idea of, and maybe you had some similar experiences in your small group when it really comes down to turning our will over. And what does that mean? And so I wanted to kind of then build upon that tonight as we celebrate our recovery. And I was drawn to Paul's letter to the Romans, and I like a lot of wordplay that Paul uses throughout Scripture. But in Romans chapter 6, in verse 3, Paul writes, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And oftentimes when I see baptisms in church or, you know, go to a baptism, I'm not thinking death. Okay, I'm thinking celebration, I'm thinking the resurrection, I'm thinking obviously we're going into the water representing that old self dying to sin, coming up, risen out of the water. But I think it's important that we meditate a little bit on that in our lives, about we were baptized into that crucifixion where Jesus took all that sin upon him. And that's a part of us. And we should think about that seriously. And later on, he writes in verse 6, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." And once again, just that parallel of the crucifixion and Jesus being nailed to the cross, and that idea that when we are baptized into that crucifixion, we're baptized into that concept of that old self is dead, and that was also kind of part of one of those seven reasons we talked about last week, where we really haven't fully accepted what Jesus did on the cross. We haven't fully accepted his forgiveness for our sins. And so maybe tonight is a night that you kind of get a hold of that in your mind. Tonight is a night that you think of yourself as being crucified, that old self, at least, crucified. I read a little blurb today describing this concept a little bit in a different way. And it was this idea of if you had two identical, let's say, ranches out in Wyoming and a very tall fence running between the two. But other than that, same outbuilding, same house, same number of cattle. On one ranch, though, that's where Satan is, and that's where you're residing in your old self. And when you decide to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you move over the fence into the ranch that is, once again, the world a lot of times doesn't change when we do. So you're in that same environment, but now you're under Jesus' reign. And you are a new person in a new place that looks very similar to the old place. And you can still hear what's going on over the fence. And that's that sin that will creep into our lives. We hear Satan over on the other side, whispering, talking, yelling. But the more time we spend on Jesus' side, and the farther we can move on that ranch away from the fence, the fainter that voice becomes. And many of you in this program have done exactly that. You've moved farther and farther away from that fence through your faith in Christ, through your brothers and sisters in Christ, and through working this program. And that deserves celebration. that deserves a time for you to pause and say, whatever else is going on in your life, if you have moved farther away from that fence. And you might only be 5 feet away instead of right up against it when you first got there. Okay, that's okay. Some of you might be miles away. Okay? But all of us are hopefully moving farther and farther away. And so I'm going to ask Jeff and Leon to take this cross here and move it right here in front of me. And I want to give you the opportunity tonight to crucify, in real terms, nail to the cross, if you will, those issues that you have put to death in your life, in your experience in this ministry, and maybe other recovery groups that you belong to. And so, if I were nailing a card to this cross tonight, alcoholism would be nailed to that cross for me. I, as many of you know, I've been able to stay sober by God's grace for a little over 13 years now, and so I would nail that to the cross. And so on the card where it says, thank you, Jesus, you can put thank you, Jesus, for you can just leave it just as it is. For one card, at least, I'd like you to write what a victory, something that you can nail to the cross, okay? Some of you in the room tonight may not be able to do that. Some of you in the room tonight may not want to do that. That's okay, all right? The point is the cross is here waiting for you when you are ready to do that, when you have made the decision, when you've gotten the support, when you've, you know, gotten your mind around the fact that you can't do this on your own. And when you're ready, the cross will always be there. Others of you are like me and have issues I'm still a little too close to the fence on in my life. I still let sin have its way, however briefly, with me from time to time. And so I'd like for you to kind of think about what are those issues or what issue are you looking to work on, and write that down on a different card. And I'd like you to put that at the foot of the cross. I'd like you to, in a kind of a very tangible way, take that and hand it over, that will of that, whatever that sin is. And I want you to put that at the foot of the cross as a physical reflection of you handing that over, that piece of will, to the Lord. Okay? And once again, there are more cards out there probably. I'm not just saying you have one thing. You can write multiple things on the card. There's no rules, okay? No right answer or wrong answer here. But that idea of what victories have you experienced, nail that on. Where's this year in recovery going to take you? What would you like this year to become from the standpoint of not you controlling it, but you participating, walking along with God, turning over that will and saying, I'm going to trust you on this one, Lord. Okay? I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know you can. And so that would go at the foot of the cross. So I've got a couple of bowls here with some nails, real live ones, a couple of hammers. Your fingers are your own problem. I'm not taking any responsibility for anybody bashing their fingers, so don't be, you know, there's no disclaimers to sign or release forms here. And so Dave is going to return to the front here and just kind of provide some background music, just music as you kind of take some time to meditate on these things. And think about this, take this, you know, seriously. And then if you're so inclined to come up and nail something and or place something at the foot of the cross, one or both is fine, doesn't matter, please do so. Obviously, you're not putting your name on this or phone number or anything like that. It's not a prayer card. These will be destroyed when we're done. Other than I might leave them on the cross, certainly for our snack time, and then we'll provide hopefully an appropriate time to do that, and then I'll come back up and we'll kind of proceed on as our, in our normal time. Okay? I think that as our Father looks upon those things that are nailed to that cross, he is well pleased, knowing that there must be a brutal dichotomy there with knowing his Son was on that cross all those thousands of years ago. But what we see on that cross today is only possible because of his time on that cross. And so that is that's beautiful, and that's awesome. And what is at the foot of the cross, I think perhaps he's more pleased with, because it's not you deciding to hop over the fence. It's not you deciding to live close to the fence. It's you deciding, I need to move. I need to move with you, Jesus. And that's, I think, as God pursues us, he is, I think, excited when, and perhaps brings the most joy to him when we, his children, submit, turn our will over to him, because he knows what is good. And any of you that are parents, you know this. You know that if you know what is right for your child, and I don't mean one of those political decisions or a choice of color of clothes. I mean, you know what is good for your kids. And if you see them moving away from that, how much pain that causes, and yet how much joy that brings you when you see them moving back. And so that's why I say I would just venture to say that the cards at the base of the cross are what he's excited about. And I am excited about, because it's you not only saying, I'm going to turn my will over in that area, those areas. I see paragraphs written on some cards. That's awesome. But it's you willing to do that in community and know the power that this community can help you with, because many of you also have a card up on the cross. And so you know this works if you continue to come back, if you continue to submit your will to his, if you continue to remain supportive of one another and in community with one another, not isolate, try to do this on your own. And so I am amazed and honored with all of you, to be with all of you tonight. Let me pray as we close, get ready to close. Heavenly Father, It boggles the mind that you would send your Son to the cross, that you would go to that extent, and that as we think about all those things that are on the cross, all those things that he paid for, all that sin that he took upon himself, Lord, we are in awe of your grace, in awe of your power to redeem all of those things, the things at the foot of the cross that you are going to redeem, the things that are on the cross that you have redeemed. Lord, draw us closer to you. Help all of us help each other draw closer to you. And that as we embark on this next year in this ministry, as we go through the process grounded in your words, your healing words, I ask that we remember this evening. We remember what we nailed to the cross. We remember what we put at the foot of the cross. We ask for accountability from those around us for those things at the foot of the cross. And Lord, I pray that next year those things would be on the cross. I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen.